And let me just give you a clue on how, for the last several weeks, I had been talking to you and warning you about getting your news sources outside of American borders. Remember? Okay. At 6:30 this morning, your time, my time, okay, a public announcement was made to the nation of Israel via an emergency broadcast system. Okay, while you may have been sleeping, Israel announced to its nation that the United States was just about ready to launch its attack on Afghanistan, and for all Israelis to be near their telephones and to be near ready, that Israel is at battle state condition, just in case. Okay, at 9:30 California time, we commenced our attack. Okay, so in other words, the entire nation of Israel knew hours and hours in advance what you may be surprised about to hear right now, that we were under an invasion out of Afghanistan. And it is underway. It started at 9:30 this morning. And Bin Laden is now, probably 2 or 3 minutes ago, Bin Laden got done speaking on Arab television to the Arab world. And I am just so excited because this is what we've all read about. This is what we've all wondered about. And Bin Laden has made the announcement today. He has called upon, and again, this is a few moments ago. I watched him live give his address 5 minutes ago and ended about 2 minutes ago, that Bin Laden has announced to all Muslims in America to now rise up, take up their arms, and to defeat the United States. Starting now, immediately. As you sit here right now, that news has gone out. And he made the announcement saying that if you do not stand, then you will have to be counted with the unbelievers. We are the unbelievers. This is a global announcement. It is the jihad. And we're walking through it right now. So honestly, I kid you not, I am not joking, and you're going to want to get the tape, I guess, just for this. I would be cautious, because I'm going to do the same thing. I would not necessarily be wearing a Christian cross in public. You say, what is that? Is that a godless thing to do? No, no, no. My friends, your early brothers and sisters during the time of Rome, they couldn't formally confess that they were Christians. So they started, when they were talking to somebody who might be a believer, they would draw the shape of a fish in the sand. And you would draw half of it one way, and then if the guy was a believer, he would come over and draw it the half of the way. If you still weren't sure that this guy was a believer that you were talking to, on the left side by the fish's mouth, you would put an I. Then he would put an X. Then you would put an O. Then he would put a Y. Then you would put an E, I-X-O-Y-E. And that is the initials for Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Then you knew you were talking to a believer. It was secret code. Because it would cost you your life in those days to be a Christian. I'm just saying, with what has been called upon upon America a few moments ago, for all Muslims to rise up against the infidels, be careful. Be wise. Second thing is, he made the specific request today, moments ago, that there will not be terrorist attacks. Boy, I wish I knew. Second service, I was saying, I think it's going to continue. I think you're going to hear more. I think you're going to see more. Bin Laden said today, just moments ago, that if we do not stop supporting Israel, if we do not pull out our covering over Israel, America will have no peace. Now, this is very critical, because if I understand my Bible correctly, Ezekiel chapter 38 teaches me that in some way, shape, or form, we are going to pull our support of Israel back. Because when Israel comes in under trouble from a Muslim attack in Ezekiel chapter 38, America, nor does the Western nations come to her aid. something very, very interesting is going to transpire from this time on. I am really heightened and blown away because I was not supposed to be with you today. I had tickets to be in Germany today. And last Wednesday, the Lord said, no, you're not going. And this is the first time God has ever kept me from leaving on a trip that had been scheduled. And I wonder why, what's going to come. Wonder what's going to happen. And I said, Jack, you're scaring me to death. No, wait. If you're not a Christian, you should be. Yeah. You should be scared to death.
Hey, partner, you're scaring the hell out of me.
Good. That's what we want. Yeah, that's it. Hey, listen. If siding with Osama bin Laden means that I'm an unbeliever, then unbeliever I am. Siding with the God of the Bible, who says that He is love, that He died on the cross for the sins of the world, count me in. Count me in to a book, perfect, the Bible. Who, listen, any Muslim wives come in contact with this tape? Let me be the first to tell you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. If you're a Muslim woman, you would want to come to Christ. Think about it. Why would somebody become a Muslim if this is what it's all about? Frankly, why would I want to give my faith to a 7th century religion that was created by a man rather than give wholeheartedly my life for the biblical truth from creation to conclusion is written in this book? This is an amazing time in which we live. Needless to say, we're not going to be going to John's Gospel chapter 19. I want you to jump on over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Luke 21, 28. And I know that I needed to encourage Mike Ogden, and I will do that near the end of the service tonight. So somebody, maybe Mike Reed, you can remind me, hold up a sign, Mike Ogden, whatever, and we'll tell the church what's going on. Luke 21, verse 28. Now understand, first of all, the context is this. Luke chapter 21 is a tribulation passage. That means it has to do with the tribulation period. Well, Jack, if I was to write a title down in the study, what would I put? Put this down as a title. It's not the end of the world. Don't you love how teenagers say that? You say, if you don't clean your room, if you don't, then you can't go out. That's not the end of the world. Well, I want to say that to you today. With all that's going on and what's going to happen, according to CNN and according to Fox News, according to Jane's Defense, there is a 100% chance. Well, now I've got the words of Osama bin Laden behind my second service, now third service. I can say, and Osama says so, that there's a 100% chance, they were saying before third service broke out, that there's a 100% chance that there's going to be a terrorist strike on the west coast of the United States if we attack the Middle East, Asia. Well, get a load of this. They also said that if we didn't attack, there would still be a 100% chance of terrorism on the west coast of America. In other words, they wanted us to do what we're doing. They're looking for jihad. They're looking for the reason. Ladies and gentlemen, in your Bible, jot it down. You don't need to turn there. Read Zechariah chapter 12. This is it. Quote, Osama bin Laden, if America will step back from its support of Israel, who occupies Palestine, we will cease attacking America. Withdraw your support for Israel and let us take them over and you will have peace in your country. If you've read anything, and don't let anybody tell you, well, either A, this has nothing to do with Israel, it has everything to do with Israel. Or if somebody says, those Jews, they shouldn't be there, give it up. Listen, be careful. You're listening to words of an Antichrist. I'm not asking you to agree with everything Israel does. We're not supposed to agree with everything that Israel does. But I know this. This book says don't ever go against Israel. Ever. Every nation that goes against Israel will be destroyed by God. And every nation that has been. Don't mess with Israel. God says, if you bless Israel, I'll bless you. So more than ever, we need to step up to the plate and support Israel in prayer and in financial help if need be, or in weapons. More than ever. You say, Jack, are you sure you know what you're saying? You're a pastor. Shouldn't we just kind of sit down and let everybody invade us? And why are we even over there in the first place? No, no, and no. Listen, this is serious. I'm not kidding. There's nothing non-Christian, there's nothing non-biblical in your Bible that says we cannot suit up an F-16 and go over there and render justice and judgment to whom justice and judgment is due. Nations war against nations. God's established it that way. What should be our interest? I'll tell you what should our interest be is this. That Osama bin Laden, right now where he's at, right now, in Jesus' name, may a Gideon Bible fall from heaven and hit him on the head. May he read it and get born again. May the Taliban stumble over a crate that they think is vodka, open it up, and come to find out it's the four spiritual laws to how to accept Christ. Listen, that's what we do. In fact, did you know right now while we were bombing, we are dropping food at the same exact time. I like that kind of warfare. We should be dropping Bibles. I hope we're dropping Bibles. Why? We're not concerned as Christians about borders and nations' names. God's concerned about those things. That's His business. But we are concerned about every soul. We don't want Satan to win a soul. We don't want him to get Osama bin Laden into hell. That guy's a lunatic. He's been deceived by Satan. He needs to be forgiven of his sins and he needs to come into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be awesome if right now he just says, you know what? I saw a vision and it was Jesus. And he says, why are you persecuting my church? Wouldn't that be great? It's not impossible for God to do it. God can do that. Until he does it, this is not the end of the world. Pastor Jack, are you sure? Listen, it's not the end of the world, even though 6,000 plus people died in the World Trade Center. Was it the end of their world? Yes. But was it the end of the world? No. I've been told that we can horrifically and terribly experience from a limited chemical or nuclear device detonated or let loose from Seattle to San Diego. Our West Coast has estimated and ran numbers that the death toll would be 1 to 1.5 million people. One half the size of the city of Los Angeles, death toll. If people die tomorrow from a release of anthrax or smallpox, does that mean the end of the world has come? No. Did that person who died, did their world come to an end? Yes. But we know this, there is a 7-year tribulation period that still has to come. There has to be a time when the church is raptured by Jesus Christ from the earth. Which one comes first? You want to know? I'll tell you. The Bible's very clear. And if you are a Bible mechanic, you know the answer. The rapture has to happen before the tribulation period. If you know anything about Judaism, the rapture has to happen before the 7-year tribulation period begins. It has to. I don't care if you like it or not. It's too bad. It's the way that it is. God has written it so in His Word. The tribulation period is the last 7 years of God dealing with Israel in the world. The rapture is solely and exclusively Gentile. One deals with a woman or a bride who is called Israel. The other one deals with a woman who's engaged to a son, a Gentile church. She's named the church, the Bride of Christ. One stays, one's removed. It's all Jewish. You got to understand it. That the Jewish son would marry a Gentile bride. That's what the book of Ruth is all about. It's amazing. So where are we? Well, we're not at the end of the world, I'll tell you that. What's going to happen next? I don't know, but I bet it's going to get pretty, pretty hairy out there. I bet you next week the church will either be packed or packed. More packed. You know what? I don't know. Call in this week and see. Maybe we need to have services in the cross street at the park by next week. I don't know. Depends on what happens. Or the place is going to be empty. I choose for the latter. You see, you think the Lord could really come back and take us out of here? Well, now would be a very good time if He's asking me. But He may not. And you know what? As the book of Hebrews tells us, we may have to resist unrighteousness to the point of death. But I do know this, and I want to hurry up and do this and be faithful to God, because I don't want it to be a prerequisite to the rapture. The Lord spoke to my heart a couple days ago, and He said, I want you to invite all your neighbors to your house and preach the gospel to them. And I'm going to be doing that this week. I'm going to be inviting my neighbors to my house this week to preach the gospel to them. Why? I don't know. Why did God keep me from being in Germany today when I was supposed to be in Germany today? I don't know. It's never happened before to me. I don't know what's going on about that. But I know this, that we need to be ready, church, to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Well, Jeff, what happens if a radical Muslim comes in here with a bomb strapped around himself and he blows himself up? He blows himself up. We go to heaven. Did you ever think that you'd be alive to even hear such things? Isn't it radical? You know what? We have just entered into the rest of the world and what they've lived under for years. What I just described to you is how Israel has lived for 50 years. The point is, it's come to America. So, in our study this morning, our makeshift study, thanks to CNN, Luke 21, I want to intentionally skip all the way down to verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. You say, what's so big about that? Oh, verses 20 down to 27. Verses 20 to 27 tells us all things that are happening, or I should say, shall happen during the tribulation period exclusively. You say, what is the tribulation period? You guys, the week that Jesus Christ was crucified and, so to speak, was removed from the nation of Israel, there were 70 weeks of 7 years determined upon God dealing with Israel in a specific way. The week that Jesus Christ was crucified ended a 7-year stint that made up 69 sevens, or 69 seven years. 69 collections of 7 years. In other words, 7 years is one, 7 years is two, 7 years is three. Are you with me? There are 69 of those, and the 69th one ended in the week that Jesus was crucified. There's a 70th one that the Bible speaks about that's never been fulfilled. And during that time, it says that hailstones will fall from the earth, that a great deceiver will come upon the face of the earth, that he'll call all people to take a mark upon their skin, right hand or forehead, that he'll create a global religious system and a global government. Apparently, interestingly enough, China will not go with him. In fact, China will invade him, and he will hear that news while he's in the area of South Africa, the Bible shows us, and he will come up into the valley of Armageddon, and come head on with his troops versus the soldiers of the land of the, or the area of the rising sun. During that period of the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible says Jesus Christ will return in the last few hours of that 7-year period of time. And that 7-year tribulation period is broken up into two halves. The first half is the advent of a European-based political ruler who will bring peace and stability to the nation Israel and the area of the Middle East. Excuse me, but does Israel want peace and stability, and does the Middle East want peace? Yes. The only thing that's going to quiet what's going on right now is the advent of a political ruler who's going to soothe everything and bring it down into a common thing. This monster fury that you're sensing and hearing about this morning, and you'll hear more about it, no doubt, as the week unfolds, is a welcome mat for the Antichrist arrival. I believe that he's alive. I believe that he's in Europe. I believe he's watching his TV right now. Now, does he know who he is? When he combs his hair, does he hit like little lumps in the back of his head? And has always wondered what those things are. No. He will be deceived by Satan himself. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. He will have a plan. It will be genius. And he's going to offer a deal that settles. I'm paraphrasing Bible. And I'm going through many chapters and verses of the book right now because we don't have much time. But watch this. He will strike a deal, a peace treaty. Again, the United States has been bartering peace treaties for 10 years now. Why? How come? For all the Christians to wake up and be in that mode of thinking, there's a peace treaty maker coming. Hello? And it's not going to be about borders. It's the war And the treaty is not about who's got bigger guns. Okay, if there's an unbeliever in here, you better listen right now. Because if you leave today unbelieving, you're stupid. Because I want to give you something right now that you need to deal with. If you've been watching peace treaties for the last 10 years, between who? America drawing up a treaty between who? Middle East players. It's not Chile and Taiwan. It's not Singapore and Australia. It's about Israel and the Middle East. Technically, it's about Israel and the Philistines. Did you know that? Thus they say, the root word, Philistia, Palestine, we on the West call it. Philistia. You think that's a coincidence? That the Bible says just before Christ returns, someone will arise out of Europe and he will have a plan that will comfort Israel's concerns and the Palestinians' concerns. And he will even do it to such a degree that they'll be able, the Jews will be allowed to build a temple on top of the vacant Temple Mount today. Right next door to the Dome of the Rock Mosque. I just got off the phone moments before I walked out here talking to a brother in Jerusalem who said tonight they were at the Wailing Wall and all this stuff was going on and the Muslims began to chant over that loud phone microphone. And a bunch of hundreds and hundreds of Christians who were from the States put on, grabbed their shofars, the ram's horns, and began to blow the trumpets. And there are thousands and thousands of rabbis and Jews. And he said that when he saw that happen, he almost had to take an aspirin. He said it was overwhelmingly spiritually powerful. And the Jews stood in awe that all these Christians were shouting the shofar, you know, that sound? And the Jews just stood. Tonight! I say tonight. It's nighttime there. It's Saturday night. Wait, what night? What is today? Oh, this is Sunday. Sorry. It's Sunday night there. It's amazing. So it's all a bunch of coincidence and things. Listen. Bible said the hot spot would be the Middle East. Zechariah chapter 12 says you better watch out because Jerusalem would become the burdensome stone to all the nations of the world. Usama bin Laden said, America, give up Jerusalem and give up Israel and all will be well with you. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy of our state said, give up Israel. He didn't say, and I watched him live. Yes, what I'm asking for is that you give up Disneyland. We want a Disneyland, and we want it in a bad way. He didn't say that. It's not Disneyland. I ask you, I want you to give up all 7-Elevens. He didn't say that. Come on, if you're not a believer, think. If the Bible's not true, he would have said, give us, I don't know, Bel Air, something. Is it who would want Jerusalem? You guys, it's a spiritual war we just stepped into. And it's going to manifest itself from here on out in physical ways. Don't be surprised. And boy, this got me in trouble a couple weeks ago. Don't be surprised. I'm only guessing. No one told me, but I wouldn't be surprised if what our friends in Israel have gone under, we start to see here. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody walks into the Mills Mall wrapped in dynamite and nails. Wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody got on one of the freeways and blew up an overpass. I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, please don't call me. And if the FBI's listening, I don't know anybody. Think. And there's people sitting here, I don't know, Harriet, what he's talking about. I think we need to just go home. Got the roast cooking. We need to be awake. We need to be awake. You say, well, how can you take such a serious thing so lightly? You know what? Because this earth is not my home. Amen. It's not the end of the world. There's a lot that has to happen. But my good friend, let me tell you, concerning Jesus Christ coming back for the rapture of the church, nothing according to the Bible has to happen first. Nothing. There is no warning needed. There is nearly 300 prophecies that have to come together before the second coming of Christ takes place. The rapture and the second coming are totally two different events. One is completely Gentile in nature. The other one's completely Jewish in nature. One is a surprise, and he doesn't even return to the earth. He appears in the atmosphere. The other one is a physical bodily return to the nation Israel for the second time. By the way, one, he appears in the atmosphere without warning. The other one gives you exact flight path. Read the book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 60. It tells you that he's going to come from the east to the west. That's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke says. When Jesus returns in the second coming, that's at least 7 years away, he's going to come from the east toward the west, not the west toward the east. And in fact, when he comes to Jerusalem, he's going to come from the area of Kuwait. It says so. His foot's going to touch the Mount of Olives. It's going to split open, and he's going to go right through the Golden Gate. It says so. That's why the Turks in the year 1000, when the Turks invaded Israel, you know what they did? They read the Bible. They went, "Eesh." And somebody yelled, "Halamahamahaman." They started bringing in bricks. They sealed up the gate. And then they still were very afraid of it. And they said, "You know what? Bring in some Gentile dead bodies and plant these dead bodies in front of the gate. Because no good Jew will ever step over a dead body." Did you know that? They did it for real. That's why when you see the picture of the Dome of the Rock, you're looking at the wrong part of the picture. When next time you see a Dome of the Rock, look just a little bit to the right and down a little bit, and there's a double door gate that's sealed up with bricks. Look directly below it. There's a bunch of graves there. The Muslims believe that Jesus can't come back because he can't deal with dead graves because he's kosher. I'm not laughing. This is serious. This is serious. He will not step over a dead body, so he can't come back. And they said the Bible says he's got to go through the eastern gate, so he can't come back. He can't come back. The funny thing is they didn't realize how strong our Savior was. He can do anything with a dead body. He can even make it live again. And he's going to go through those gates, and the king will enter in, and the Psalm speaks about this. Isaiah speaks about it. You guys, listen, we are living in absolutely demoniac times, but also spirit-filled times. I believe that we're going to start seeing radical outpourings of God's Spirit. Are we going to see evil? It's already begun. I don't know what's happening right now at this hour while we're safe within this building. What's happening in downtown LA right now? I don't know. Maybe nothing, I hope. Maybe Osama bin Laden's request is going to fall on deaf ears. I don't know, but I doubt it. When Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, you better look up because your redemption draws near. If that verse applies to the tribulation period, and I'm seeing things that pertain to the tribulation period coming around already, what does that mean? It means we are so close to going up. Well, how do you know? Ah, so good. I'm glad you asked. Turn to 2 Thessalonians quickly. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Oh, this is us. Okay, real quick. Boy, we got lots of time. The clock must have broke. No, we got time. We got time, Rick. When Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, it was an awesome thing. You know what? He was only there for 4 weeks. He shows up on its shores. By the way, it's one of the oldest cities in the world. You can go there today. Although, today would not be a good day for you to go there. Come to think about it. Anyway, it's a great place. And you can go there. And as Paul went there, and there's no believers. Paul shows up and he preaches the gospel. And in 4 weeks, there's a church that started in somebody's house. Under the teaching of Paul, okay? In 4 weeks, he leaves them. And as he leaves them, he writes them a letter called 1 Thessalonians. Don't turn there. in 1 Thessalonians, he writes to them about what he taught them. Hey, remember what I taught you guys? Let's recap. I taught you about predestination, knowing that the Lord knows who's going to be in heaven and he knows those who are not going to be, and you don't have to worry about it. I wrote you about that. And I also wrote you about the fact that Jesus was going to come back and take the church from the earth in an hour that you don't think. Miraculously, you're going to be caught up into the air. He wrote that 2,000 years ago to the church of Thessalonica in the first epistle, the first one. Isn't that amazing? Then about another year went by, and he got really bent out of shape. Paul got all upset because people began to say that we're trafficking through Thessalonica. They said, hey, the church in Thessalonica is really bummed out. They have no joy. Their peace is all gone. How come? Well, there's people writing letters saying that you wrote them a letter and said that they're going to have to go through the tribulation period, that they're not going to be taken off from the earth, that they're going to have to go through all of this stuff, and that there's no hope. And so Paul writes to them 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians deals with the rapture. Remember that. Mark it down. You'll get an A in your Bible class if you know this. I'm telling you, it'll save you a year of school. 1 Thessalonians deals with the rapture of the church, which comes first. 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming, which comes second. Thus it's called the second coming. Now watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, Calvary Chapel, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and another event, which is called our gathering together to Him, we ask you, he's responding now to these goofball letters, not to be soon shaken in mind or in trouble either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord or the day of Christ had come. Let nobody deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. A bunch of people give up on their faith and go back to the world. They were spiritual counterfeits in the church. But look at the second part. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. For 2,000 years, people have been falling away from the church. Now we're at the end of the ball game. We're at the end of the church age, and the Antichrist is soon to be revealed. Watch this. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, that's the Holy Spirit, personal pronoun there, who now restrains will do so until he, the Holy Spirit, steps aside, in the Greek, not removal, steps aside out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. The Antichrist. Where does he come from? The Bible tells us he comes from an old, revived Roman Empire. Daniel tells us this. By the way, listen, any historians in here? Who defeated the Babylonian Empire? Anybody? No, listen. Who defeated the Babylonians? The Medes and Persians, right. Who defeated the Medo-Persian Empire? The Greeks. Alexander the Great got whipped. By the way, That's a scary thought. Afghanistan has not lost a war since they lost at Alexander the Great. Yikes. Anywho, let's keep going. Who beat the Greeks? Rome. The Roman Empire. Who defeated the Roman Empire? Nobody. According to Bible, the Roman Empire still exists in a spiritual form. No one ever defeated it. That's why Bible scholars say in the end times, the Roman Empire will be revived. Daniel's image, chapters 2, 7, and 9, that's what it was all about. The world governing empires. And it said that once it's revived, it was depicted in his statue as 2 feet with 10 toes. And each of those toes, it said, would be representative kings of a united Roman Empire. And out of those 10 toes would arise a very insignificant man who literally, the Bible says, will be stout and speaks great words. So kind of like, you know, like a Don Rickles looking kind of a guy. Little guy with a big mouth. In fact, I've seen some books on the Antichrist called The Mouth. The Bible says he's going to speak pompous words, arrogant words. And he'll go so far as to even speak against the God of heaven. And then he, by his own decree, is going to allow himself at 3.5 years into the seven-year treaty. Seven-year treaty. The 70th week of Daniel. The 70th seven. The seven-year. Halfway through it, he's going to stand in a temple in Jerusalem and declare that he's God in human skin. You guys, there is no temple in Jerusalem. This means a temple soon to be built in Jerusalem. I believe the Antichrist is alive right now watching the news. If not, he's maybe even in some meetings right now. I believe that. We live in an amazing time and an amazing age. The Bible says that, oh, are you ready for this? This is almost too obvious. The Bible says that he comes on the scene while the world is crying out for peace and prosperity. The Old Testament prophets tell us that he will come on the scene promising peace and prosperity. Are all the economies of the world crashing right now? Including ours? Is there not peace? Or are we not looking for peace somewhere in the world? Sounds like it's going to get worse too, huh? Violence, financial upheaval. World markets are going down, violence is increasing. Interesting, huh? You can't blame me. You can't accuse me of making that up. Well, let's just play this out for a moment. If the Antichrist comes out of a unified European Roman Empire, you would need a European Roman Empire revived, wouldn't you? And we've already had that for over 10 years. The USE, the United States of Europe. Or the ECU. It goes by several names. But in Europe, when you're in Europe, they'll call it, because they love America, the pattern, they love it. They call it the USE. United States of Europe. Well, they have to have a currency. On January 1st, I know they've been electronic for 2 years. If you wanted to buy a Mercedes from Stuttgart this last year, online, you know you had to buy it. You had to buy it in euros. Did you know that? Not dollars. If you were to buy a Mercedes-Benz from Stuttgart, Germany, and have it shipped here, you couldn't pay it in dollars. You had to pay in euros. Well, that was electronic. Well, on January 1st, they're going with cash. Why don't you show the slide, Roger, to this? This is Los Angeles Times. And Raj, go ahead and highlight the three items. This is on one page on one day. In the middle, it says, first euro notes unveiled in countdown to E-Day, Euro Day. And it goes on to mention that January 1st is E-Day in Europe. It's where they go to, no more German francs, Deutschmarks, no more French francs, no more Deutschmarks. No more of the European currency. All will function with this in Europe, okay? And if you look to the top right-hand corner, again, this was in August of this year. Boy. It says, Dow falls past 10,000 to hit a five-month low. And then the small print, it says, is this the bottom? Robert, where are you? Where are we at now? 91. Well, obviously, in August, that was not the bottom. Well, that's interesting. The dollar goes down, the euro comes up, and what, pray tell, is that little article down at the bottom? Oh, just that a million beef pounds in America had to be slaughtered because of E. coli, pestilence. On one page, the IBF, IBP Incorporated, the largest food handling group in America, had to recall the beef and destroy it because of E. coli fears. Say, well, what does that do to anything? Pestilence, diseases, the Bible says, will blanket the earth. What's going to come of this terrorist stuff that they let loose? What really is it? Everyone's wondering, what do they really have? Could they have made something up? We don't know. The world's going to find out. It's very, very amazing, you guys. Is this to scare you? No, it's to excite you. The believer's going, oh man, this is amazing. This is fantastic. Well, remember this. This European leader, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that he's going to join ranks with a religious system that is unified worldwide. The political leader is going to join ranks with a religious leader. And here we go. That religious leader is found in Revelation chapter 17. It says in the Bible that it's a city that sits, it's once of the ancient Roman Empire. It's a city that is central to religious worship, and that it is a city that has been built on seven hills, the Bible says. Let me give you a clue. Chino Hills does not sit on seven hills. Okay? That city, from that place, from that part of the world, will bring the world under one agreeable form of worship. The entire world will agree to worship in some way, shape, or form under its covering. Are you with me? Are you guys awake? Are you here? If you have not heard in the last 3 weeks some commercial or some news clip or somebody say something that we need to lay down our differences and become one, that we need to just call God, God, and we'll all just rally behind the same God. If you haven't heard that, you are probably dead or you're deaf. That's all I've been hearing. This week I was talking to a friend of mine in Germany. He said, Jack, that's all we're hearing in Germany. That the Lutherans should become Methodists, and the Methodists and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, we're all becoming one now. All because of what happened in New York. He says, we're all hearing it now. We need to become one. Guess what? That's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And if you don't come under that banner, you know what you are? You are an extremist. You are radical. And you, like Wycliffe and Tyndale and Knox and others, need to be burned at the stake as a heretic. That's what happened 1,000 years or less. Less than that, my goodness. 500 years ago. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really? Do you really believe that He's your Savior? Do you really believe that He's the only way to heaven? Well, unless we get raptured soon and very soon, your testimony from your own mouth will be called upon. Someone's going to be asking us this in the not too distant future. And it could cost you status in life. How much of a committed Christian are you at that specter looming over your head? Just when you thought this too much, it's like too obvious what's going on around here. This coin you've seen before, it's on our website. I personally own it. It's a commemorative coin, meaning it is a collector's item. It is actual currency. I can spend it. Not gonna. But this is a 5 euro. Now remember this before you see it. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that this religious leader, she is going to climb up as imagery. She's going to climb up on the back of the beast, the political leader, and together they're going to try to conquer the world. Look, you guys, are you with me? I need some feedback here. We're still way ahead of time here. The Bible says that this false religious system, the Queen of Heaven, who's draped in robes and the stars over her head, she will get on the back of the political beast, and together they will attempt to conquer the world. All right? Who would think that if the Bible says that, the last thing that you would want to put on your dollar bill is a woman riding the back of a beast. Well, take a look. You say you made that up. No, we didn't. Isn't that wild? Hold it up there, Raj. The paperwork that came with this coin explains exactly what's going on here, according to Europe's understanding. The woman who's riding this animal, her name is Europa. Anybody have ancient European history? Europa represents all of Europe, a unified Europe. She's, put it this way, she's the goddess of Europe in ancient Greek. Okay? That's Europa, it said. Look at her robes, by the way. If you've read the book of Revelation, you're getting goosebumps. Look what she's riding. A almost mutated, freakish-looking bull or horse thing. It's slender towards its hind and bulbous and bulky in the front end, with a massive head and horns coming out of its head. You know what the paperwork that came with that said that was? Zeus, the god, the Greek god Zeus. And here's what the ocean underneath represents, covering the world. The document went on to say that the reason why the European Central Bank chose this in 1996 for one of its debut pieces is that it captures the ancient spirit and fervor of ancient Europe, Rome. That Zeus would carry Europa and take her around the world to spread prosperity and peace. I give you my word that was purchased as is, that is not doctored up, that's gold in the middle, and the reason why you see that circle is a silver on the outside. It's a huge coin, a little bit bigger than a dollar piece, U.S. dollar. A Christian looks at this and says, are you kidding me? Stop playing with me. That's too obvious. Oh, really? Well, what about AT&T's commercial? Or pick one. AT&T in Europe. Can't believe it. AT&T in Europe had this statue, a picture of the Tower of Babel. Remember what the Tower of Babel was all about? One language to reach heaven, to pull God down and bring God among men and make man as gods. That's why God judged them and sent them what? Confusion. And gave them what? Different what? Languages. Tongues. AT&T has got a poster in Europe. It's huge. I've seen it in Frankfurt. It's huge. It's a giant picture of Babel. And it says, never again, AT&T. You got to know some Bible to figure that one out. AT&T, I would assume, spent thousands, maybe millions on that promotion. It's too obvious. Too obvious if you know the Lord. There's people sitting here right now going, this guy's an idiot. He's lost me. It's because you don't know your Bible. How about this? Right now, on your news TV programs, your screen kind of goes white. And then streaming across your screen are names of streets and cities and countries. One of them I noticed immediately because I had spaghetti there on the corner on Jaffa Street, Jerusalem, where Shabaros used to be, where they blew it up. I had spaghetti in there with a mirror and my wife and his wife. Somebody walked in there with a bomb and blew the whole thing up and killed a bunch of people. Jaffa Street, Jerusalem, Israel. Some town in North Carolina. Some place in Okasaka, whatever. And you're reading it. And you're saying, what is this? What is this commercial? And then it says, the power to unite is greater than the power to divide. AT&T. What's that message being sent? Let's become one. Let's unite. No more people being individual. And then all of a sudden, watch this. All of a sudden, in the midst of all this happy, warm, and cuddly unity, one comes out of the ground and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. You know what happens when somebody comes out of the ground and says such things? They want to stone him and put him back into the ground again. Is not the words of the gospel hostile to a satanic unifying world? What's going to be the result of today's attacks? Just one more step closer to a unified world, to a weaker America, to the plummet of the dollar. I'm not a prophet and I'm not a son of a prophet, but I think the dollar is going to go down the hole so the European euro can go up. It has to happen. You're going to see America be so weakened from within like ancient Rome due to terrorist activity and maybe even division among the ranks of people. That when a couple more things break out here on our own soil, we're going to say, Bush, bring our soldiers home. We need help here. And that will be the moment that even unwillingly, Russia will not want to be getting involved, but a Muslim alliance will remind Russia, you signed a treaty with us promising to come to our aid if we ever wanted to invade Israel. That's a fact. You must come. And Russia will be drug into an Israeli attack against Israel. America, the Bible says, doesn't say America, it says the nations that are afar off will say, why are you doing this to Israel? Have you come to attack her and to take her goods? All we do is file a United Nations declaration of condemnation. It's all we do. Why? We're going to be too weak to respond. Or it could be that we're not interested in Israel anymore to respond. So what do we do? What do we do? We tell everybody we can about the gospel. We encourage people to read their Bible, to come to church. That we ask God to baptize us in the power of the Holy Spirit and for once in your life get bold about the right thing. I'm very aware of Nordstrom's has a sale tomorrow because they're going under. You know, they're hurting bad. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. Why don't you go to the bookstore instead and buy a Bible and give it to your neighbor? We've just come into some serious times if you haven't caught on. I am just so glad that everything in this book is perfect and real. To the point where, and I'll end with this, I really will. You know in the book of Revelation, John says that he sees an amount of people converted to Jesus that nobody on earth could count them all. I got an idea. I hope it's from the Lord. If not, it's just a cockeyed thought. But I got sick this week of hearing about what the world's fastest growing religion is, especially when I saw them beating women for their veils falling off their heads. Beating the snot out of women because their veil fell too far over their face. Hey, lady, I don't know about you, but you ought to be glad you're a Christian. That there's no Holy Ghost police squad beating you up with these leather whips because your veil fell off and exposed your forehead? Hey, you know what? What's the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth? Anybody? Islam. What's the fastest growing religion in America? Islam. If it's the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth and in America, and if there are more Islamic mosques meeting in old English churches than churches in England, doesn't that mean there's a lot of them? Then if there's so many of them that Satan's trying to dupe and to get into hell, it seems to me he's left and missed the loophole. If Islam's the fastest growing religion on earth, only God could figure out why you'd want to be one. Then I read in my Bible, the bulk of the people getting converted during the tribulation period must be a bunch of Muslims. Think about it. He said it's a number so big nobody could count. If you walk up to a sincere Muslim and say, listen, pal, Jesus took your place. He's your Messiah. Salvation's free. You don't have to work for it. You have to earn it. And listen, tell your wife, salvation's free. And the Bible says there's no difference between male and female, that they're all one in Christ. We're all free. He paid the price. Just receive Him as Lord and Savior. Confess your sins to Him and you have eternal life. You don't have to bleed yourself, blow up yourself, bomb yourself. You don't have to wrap yourself up with duct tapes and nails and bombs. You wrap yourself up in the promises of the everlasting God. That is an amazing thing to me. That what Satan has meant for evil, God is going to turn around for good. First of all, right now, I was thoroughly hoping that the rapture would happen before we got to the end of this message today. So listen. Those of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ. Well, Jack, how do I do that? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you confess that truth with your mouth, you'll be saved. Well, don't you want $20 first? No. Is that all you got? Just 20? Just kidding. No. Well, do I need to sign up for the usherment? No. Do I need to do, how about class? Do I need to go to a class first? No. Can you imagine? Yes, thief on the cross. Hey, that's great that you believe in me, but you're a little too late. You should have taken my new believers class first. Now accept him. Right now. Wouldn't it be awesome, you guys, if at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I didn't say it, I'm just making it up, but at 2 o'clock, sometime after 2 o'clock this afternoon, the rapture happens. Can you imagine? We're gone. Oh. It'd be so great. I was hoping to maybe move into the building, have one service, and then go. But the way things are going now in the world, we'll up for now, Lord. Even so, as John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So listen, if you're not sure and you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you got to do that now. Don't wait anymore. Don't wait. I don't know what's awaiting us outside these doors. Choose Christ now. And Jesus said, God said, you know what? That's a smart thing, because you will never have to fear him who takes your body, but rather be in awe of him who can take your body and your soul. Amen. Okay? That's very important. You guys, I'm going to ask right now as we make this request for everyone to sit still, because I'm going to need to introduce a brother, and I'm just going to have him stand in a moment. Because of the time that I've consumed. First things first. I want all of us to bow our heads in prayer, and I will be the only one that looks across this audience. And I want you to bow your heads in prayer, and even if you are a Darwinian, can you just be a respectful about it? And bow your head. Pretend you're looking at a worm or something down there. Just out of respect. And let's be quiet. Let's sit still. If in your heart this morning you would say, I am afraid. I do not know that if I would die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want Jesus as my Savior. I want Him to forgive me of all of my wicked, horrible sins. All of my lustful thoughts and ambition. I want to be forgiven. I want to make sure that I'm in the family of God now. If that's you today with head bowed and eyes closed, will you raise your hand? Oh my, so many. Praise the Lord, so many. I'm not going to enumerate them, so many. Put your hands down. And maybe for some of you, you're a Christian, but you're not walking right with God. And you need to get hot on fire with Him again. And you want to recommit your life to Jesus today, will you put your hand up wherever you're at? I couldn't think of a better day than today. Excellent. Yes, many hands everywhere. Okay, hands down. Oh, just for the heck of it. Those of you who are born again, you're going to heaven, you know it, you can't wait. Raise your hands. Yes. All right, let's put our hands down. Father, for these who have raised their hands, coming to you for the first time, and those recommitting their lives to you. Thank you for this day, first of all. Thank you, Lord, for this day. that today many have made the decision to say yes to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, to watch over our nation and to protect it. We ask you, God, to build a bubble, as it were, around Israel and around America and around England and around France and around Germany and around Norway and around Sweden, around Australia. Lord, we don't like these things that are happening. We don't want these things to happen. But God, this is a demonic thing. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would open up the eyes of our president, the cabinet, generals, leaders, Lord, that they would fall on their face right now at this hour and say, oh God in heaven, have mercy on us. That, Father, you would be in the cockpit of those aircraft, and Lord, that you would manifest yourself on the heads-up display, your face, your word, your gospel to them. And Lord, even Osama bin Laden right now, wherever he's hiding out in some hole in the earth, God, really, that you would appear to him by vision and save his soul. So what if a rocket lands on his head? Who can take away his soul? Satan wants him. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would set him and his Taliban lunatics free. That they would come to know that Jesus is the one. And God, that Israel, Lord, we know what it is written. We know that evil days await Israel. Our heart is crushed for what awaits her. Jesus, you said, days so bad, like never before seen on earth. Oh God in heaven, we pray that you would, Lord, accomplish thy will with thy people Israel. And Lord, that you would awaken our hearts to see that the issue of the world is a little tiny sliver of land called Israel. And that alone should cause the nations of the earth to open the Bible up and take notice that the judge of the universe is about to speak. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, while you're seated, sorry to do this to him this way. Mike, stand up right where you're at. You guys, standing here right here.